Welcome to the Ecology and Research Channel. Green issues, ecology, incredibly important to embodiment. Obviously, we're embodied in place, we're embodied in a world. How we treat ourselves is how we treat the planet and vice versa. So this is super important, I think, for our whole planet. Research relates to this. We've sort of put two together there. We didn't quite know where to put research, so we put them in with ecology. This stage has lots of great speakers, people I personally enjoy, and it's sponsored by Forests Without Frontiers. So rather than sell a sponsorship for this channel, we decided, you know what, let's give it away to a green charity. Tree planting seemed a good one. We thought we can all get behind that. We all breathe air. We looked into a load, actually. Some of them are quite famous, but don't actually plant a lot of trees, weirdly, or other things aren't so good with them. This one, Forests Without Frontiers, really does the work. They're in charge of a really big reforestation project in Central Europe, but, you know, we're all breathing it, thank you. It's run by Nicoletta, a very cool lady, and just a cool organization that really does the work. The money goes, you know, efficiently to actually planting trees. I'm happy to be supporting them. For me, it was like, you know, when we were looking at our charities to support, a green one just made a lot of sense to me. That just was obvious. Please do support them. Links below. As well as that, enjoy the whole channel. There's so much richness in this topic.
So welcome, Ben Page, a forest bathing advocate and guide. It's really exciting to have you here joining us today. You are a trainer of the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Guides. You've been sharing the delights and experiences of forest therapy and forest bathing. You and your work has been featured in many of the great leading publications and on Good Morning America and such shows like that. You're also the co-founder of California's only open free democratic school, which is wonderful. And authoring the yet to be named and released book that you have written on forest bathing, and that's going to be coming out next year. So today's session, you are going to encourage us to ask ourselves what it means to be nature. And so through somatic and imaginal meditation, journaling, map making and discussion, we're going to explore apparently how the body is not a thing we have, but an ecological experience that we are. Exploring these inner landscapes. So thank you. I look forward to delving in, wandering in the forests. So hand it over to you.
Thank you. Well, okay, let me share my screen here. Can everyone see this first slide? Yeah?
Yes.
All right, fabulous. So before we start, I'd just like to invite you to have a pen or pencil or colored pencils or markers or whatever writing implement you enjoy, and either some paper or a journal. So this presentation today is called Your Body is a Living Forest. And I thought I would just say that this session is not forest therapy, but it is inspired by it. Part of my journey in learning about forest therapy and training guides and writing this book has kind of illuminated for me that I have two main goals in my work. The first goal is to help people remember that they are nature. We tend to have kind of a tendency to abstract ourselves from nature. We tend to have kind of a self-referencing specialness about our humanity. And my second goal is really to help people fall in love with nature, which of course includes our own bodies. And when I say love, I don't mean enjoy it for its pleasures or appreciate it for its outer beauty. I think when I think of love, I think it's something unconditional. It's seeking the beauty that is within. I've been kind of ruminating on this idea that we tell children all the time that beauty is on the inside. So I've been really curious about how can we extend the idea of seeing the inner beauty of the world beyond just human beings, that there's something essential and something quite unique and special about everything, about every leaf, every blade of grass, every gust of wind, every snowflake, that maybe there is outer beauty there that is mirroring some kind of inner beauty. So to start, I just wanted to mention that this is not about learning. This is about remembering. And I have a real love of the etymology of words. You know, where do these words come from? And I found something really interesting about the word remember. The word remember in English comes from the Old French, which comes from Late Latin, which comes from the Proto-Indo-European language, meaning to think about or be mindful of. I think most people are very familiar with this etymological definition of remember. But what a lot of people don't know is there's this interesting folk etymology of the word remember, and it is the opposite of the word dismember. So remember is not just about reconstructing something in our minds. Remembering is also about putting our bodies back together. I think part of this is that in our world, we experience a false sense of dualism around the body and the mind, that these things are separate from each other. And so when we're thinking about remembering, I think we're really talking about restoring our body to its rightful place as having autonomy and intelligence that is primary. The mind kind of follows the body wherever it goes, but it's the body that is the experiencing reality directly. So I always tell people with almost everything I do, with forest bathing, forest therapy, somatic work, your body already knows. You were born with this wisdom and intelligence and the autonomy of your body. You don't need to learn anything. It all lives within you. So first, I thought we could do a little thought experiment. So if you can get your pen and paper. And first, I'd like you to take 30 seconds and just make a list of words that you associate with the idea of your own body. Words that maybe describe your body or the idea that you have of it. So I'll just put 30 seconds on the clock. All right, fabulous. So now I'd like to invite you to make a list of words that you associate with the idea of nature, words that you might use to describe. What is nature? So again, just 30 seconds. All right, just wrapping up whatever word you were working on. And now, I wonder, what do you notice when you compare these two lists of words? I wonder if maybe there are words that overlap, or maybe there's words that actually illuminate some sort of dissonance between the idea our own subjective idea of our bodies and our own subjective idea of what nature is. I've done this thought experiment with a few groups, and these are some words that came up that people had in both lists: living, dynamic, cyclical, impermanent, beautiful, imperfect, complex, dignified, awe-inspiring, changing, moving, thriving, restorative, intelligent, interconnected, sensual, powerful, and amazing. I'm curious if in the chat box, anyone might want to share any words that they came up with that maybe describe both the way they see their own bodies and the way that they see nature. Maybe I could ask my hosts to help me read those out if they come in. Grounded. Yeah, that's a nice one. Perhaps people want to share if their lists didn't really align that much. I wonder what's coming up for you just looking at these two lists.
Ben, are you not able to see the chat?
I think I'm seeing it. I see grounded and willing.
Okay. That's from the Q&A box.
Yeah, and in the actual chat, there's wonderful. The list of my body was very limited. Listening, managed. Sad words that came up for my body were functional vehicle. Can you see them now?
No, but I really appreciate you helping with that. Oh, okay. Wait, here I see it. The chat
there
now.
We go. Humans, part of nature, nature equals part of humans. Yeah. So just to note for people, if in response to Ben's provocations, yeah, drop them in your responses into the chat, and any questions, drop them into the Q&A box, which is down the bottom, and we'll answer them at the end of the session. And you can also upvote those questions.
Thanks. Yeah, just to mirror some of this back, breathing, beating, alive. Mine didn't align. The body words are more on the critical side. Humans equal part of nature, and nature equals part of humans. Managed, listening. The list of my body was very limited. Wonderful, sad words that came up for my body were functional and vehicle. Connected, occasionally stormy. Oh, there's lots of good stuff in here. Thank you for these shares. And thank you for offering this invulnerability that, yeah, sometimes these lists don't really align. It's kind of an illuminating experience to see that the way we think about the concept of our body, concept of nature, while we can understand it kind of objectively that these are the same, from our own subjective experience, we can have certain amounts of judgment towards one or towards the other. So this brings me to kind of the thesis of the presentation, which is that our bodies are not inanimate temples. Our bodies are much more like living forests because our bodies are nature. I find it challenging to think of my body as a temple. Because the way that sounds to me is that my body is like an object or a project to be built up and manipulated in certain ways. Maybe those are aesthetic considerations, or those are value judgments about what the body should be. I think we tend to also look at nature like this sometimes as well. We tend to look at nature through the lens of our own aesthetic or economic prejudice. And we want nature to be a certain way in the same way that we want our body to be a certain way. There's this really interesting concept called eco-normativity. Eco-normativity is just saying that there is supposed to be a right nature, a good nature. And you can imagine probably what that would look like for a lot of people. I think when we have judgment about nature, we want it to be peaceful and tranquil and beautiful and wild. There's all these ways that we tend to project our desire about what we want nature to be onto it, and then that breeds all this judgmental dissonance when nature is not what we want it to be. And the same thing is kind of true of our own bodies. I think part of the reason why I don't feel like my body is a temple is because it feels like my body is not the vehicle or the house for what I call my consciousness. That the body, just like an ecosystem, has its own intelligence, its own autonomy, and its own integrity. And when we come into an awareness of this, I think we begin to realize that the body is not a thing that we have. The body is an experience that we are. And that is nature. That our bodies are nature and that we are nature. And I, kind of circling back to the intention of my work, I think that in order for us to actually love nature, we have to love our bodies. And to really love our bodies, we have to love nature. There's really no way around this. And I think this is really interesting because I think there's a lot of people that profess to have a love for nature, an unconditional experience of love, and yet they still have a very conditional and judgmental relationship to their own bodies. So what does embodiment mean to me? Well, I think embodiment is our ability to experience ourselves as nature. And it's an immediate experience. There's no thoughts in between. I've been thinking a lot about the mind, how it deals very well in abstraction, that the mind tends to want to categorize and distill the essence of things into words. It will say, well, this is a tree, that is a cloud, this is my elbow, this is my shoulder. And when you try to distill the essence of something, it denies the livingness of it. It denies that these things are impossible to describe abstractly, because to abstract it is to make it like a painting. It's to try to freeze it in time, or try to freeze it so that our minds can connect to that abstract idea. This is just how our minds work. It's not really a judgment about whether it's good or bad. It's just that that is how the mind tends to relate to the world. Whereas the body, the sensing, living, moving, breathing body, it's here, it's connected to this moment in a way that the mind can't be. Because the mind is always grasping, it's always trying to hold on to what is happening. but the body is experiencing reality. Like the metaphor I use is it's like standing in a river. It's like standing in this river of time and experience. It's just washing over us. As a side note, I think this is really part of the idea of when we say we're forest bathing. We're bathing in the rich atmosphere of organic compounds released from trees. We're bathing in our senses, like sunbathing. We're just experiencing a phenomenon through our sensual bodies. And then there's this third definition that we're here in this moment. We're experiencing the fluidity of time. Sometimes when I'm teaching, I ask people, you know, you can imagine the sound of a bell ringing in the future, or you can remember the sound of a bell ringing in the past, but your mind doesn't hear the bell right here, right now. It's the body that experiences that. It's the body that connects us to this moment. And so when we're practicing our awareness of embodiment, and I say awareness of our embodiment because I believe we're always embodied, unless you are having some sort of astral projection experience where your consciousness leaves the body, we are always embodied. We're simply not aware of it. We're distracted by all the monkey mind, all the chatter, all the things going on up here. But when we're practicing an awareness of our embodiment, we're remembering a sort of wordless language that relates us to the world. I think the world kind of speaks a certain language. It's a language that we're born with. Before we ever learn any particular language that has words, first we understand that the world speaks to us through our senses, that we understand how to receive information from the world, even from phenomena like light. It's interesting that when you're born, you don't have circadian rhythm yet, that the development of circadian rhythm in the first 6 months of your life comes from your body's relationship to the cycle of light and darkness. And it actually teaches your brain how to release melatonin, which helps your body learn how to sleep. This is why babies, when they're born, are horrible sleepers. They just don't know how to do it yet. But that's the language that we have forgotten. And I think we can all remember it. And so when we're practicing this, we're also abandoning the abstract idea of ourselves and our own specialness, and we're becoming our original or ecological selves. This is a big motif in my work because I find that the mind wants to create this story. It's an ego story. Well, who am I? But the ecological self, it doesn't matter who you are. The trees don't care who you are. The trees care about what you are. The trees know you as human. They don't know me as Ben, and I live in Los Angeles, and this is my job, and this is what I think about things. The realms of nature receive us not as who we are, but as what we are. And we are nature. We are an ecological experience that defies any need for specialness. I always tell people, you don't need to impress the trees. You don't need to be someone special. Nature just receives you as you are. And then we begin to experience the world dynamically, that we're a part of it and it's a part of us. So now I'd like to play you, this is actually the world premiere, global debut of one of my stories. I call this The Wild Garden, voiced by my friend Leah Horton. I'd like to invite you to just maybe close your eyes, find a comfortable way of just relaxing into this place, and just follow the story, just follow along with it.
Chapter 1, The Wild Garden. Once upon a time, in a land not too far away, there was a forest where no human had ever been. It was a place of true wildness. The roots of the trees dwelled deep within the earth, and their crowns touched the heavens above. The forest was abundant with the signs of death that revealed the emergence of life. This never-ending circle was what gave the wild her rugged beauty. And then, one day, a human arrived. He looked around and said to himself, "This place would be so beautiful if only we removed some of these dead trees, if only we chased off these bothersome pests, if only we made pathways to walk upon and fountains to bathe in, if only." He could not appreciate the beauty of the wild because he had forgotten it within himself. And so the human donned a gardener's crown and began his work. He had learned what beauty was from his masters and their thick books and long-revered wisdom. He knew how to make the forest into an imagined paradise. He brought life from other places, more beautiful to his eye than what had been there before. He trimmed and cut and weeded and dug. He tore up the deep roots and cut the crowns from the trees. He removed what he called ugly and transformed what was left. And when he took his day of rest, he looked around and the work was finished. But the work was not truly finished, for soon the wildness returned. The plants in the garden grew. The animals from the forest ate the fruit from the vine. The leaves fell from the trees and carpeted the earth. And the gardener went back to his toil, and every week he battled to keep the garden as perfect as it was in his imagined fantasy. Until one day, the gardener became exhausted. He looked at his calloused hands, and he made a new plan with them. He built a giant wooden wall around the garden, a wall so tall that he could see nothing but sky from the inside. When he finished his wall, the garden was more obedient. Nothing went mysteriously missing. Nothing appeared as if dreamed up from the earth and soil. The gardener smiled as he realized that from then on, the beauty of his garden would always be exactly as he had meant it to be. And for many years, nothing changed. Until one day, a family of woodpeckers arrived. The rhythmic drumming of their song left holes in the wall, and through those holes, wildness drifted back into the garden again in the shape of seeds carried on the breath of the wind. The seeds took root instantly in the garden soil as if coming back to a familiar home. By this time, the gardener was getting older. He couldn't move as quickly as he could before. He was not as productive as when he was younger. As time wore on, the seeds became trees and flowers and shrubs, their roots sinking deeper every day. The holes in the wall opened wider, and animals began to return. The signs of death came as well, as autumn turned to winter. Though he resisted at first, the gardener understood that he could not keep the world out, and so he grew in compassion and welcomed the world in. He welcomed all the returning beings, even death. After many years of chasing permanence and perfection in his garden, he finally knew in his bones that he was part of this returning as well. He cherished those days and delighted in their hours as he remembered how to love without judgment. Even after the gardener passed away, the garden remained. There would always be traces of his labor left over. The rotting wall became covered in ivy. The rusting pruning shears were ceremonially leaned against a tree, and the pathways hosted congregations of daisies and dandelion. All of this held its own dignity and beauty. Nothing was denied, and nothing was forgotten. Everything had its place. Slowly and gently, the garden remembered its own wildness, and it was good.
Yeah, I think we have this expression, arrow to the heart, in the work I do with the association, kind of the thing that lands with you, just kind of remains, is that piece about after chasing permanence and perfection for so long, we finally learn to just love what it is, just to love unconditionally. So unpacking this story a little bit, the land is our body. The gardener is our mind, or our judgments, our discriminations. How do we reconcile a relationship that is so often based in judgment and control and labor? We see that the gardener has his own sense of eco-normativity, that there is a right way for these things to be, and that he knows, so he can try to control it. He can try to force that beauty to happen. I always tell students, you can't open a rose with a crowbar. You can't force something beautiful to happen. So just take one minute, just a moment. I wonder, the relationship between the way you see your body, the way you relate to it. How are you tending this land? How are you cultivating the body? It doesn't have to be a big, long essay, maybe just a few words. Don't think about it too hard. Before we move on to practice, one of the things I've been thinking a lot about is that nature tended itself for billions of years before we ever got here. We tend to have this idea that we are the stewards of the land, that we are responsible. And that leads us to having that separate attitude. That idea that we're here in a special capacity, that our tending the land is about doing what's best for the land, when really, oftentimes, what is best for the land is just to leave it alone. There are ways we can tend to the land that are positive. That's known in many indigenous traditions around the world, the ways that we can promote the health of the land. But to do that, we have to understand what the desire of the land is. We can't impose our agenda upon it and say, this is what it should be. We have to actually pay attention. We have to say, what does this maple tree want? What does this squirrel need? It's not about generalizing and saying, this is how it all works. It's not a mathematical system. It's about the individual relationships. And that is like our bodies as well. We have all this health culture about this is what the human body should do and this is what it needs. No, we need to throw that all out the window. What does your body need? Your body, not everyone else's. So before we begin to practice, just two quick notes. The first is that just let it be so that there's no separation between human and nature. We tend to have a sense of dualism around this. But like I said, the trees don't see us as being any different. We're just animals, right? I think it stems from our own sense of human exceptionalism that we think that there is separation. And that really extends to everything. So here in my living room, I have this couch and my chair and the walls and the lights, and this is all nature. This is all unified. There is no distinction. Everything transforms, but everything is the earth. Everything comes from the earth, just like us. And the second piece is, I just want to say, let it be so that everything from this point forward is an invitation. And what I mean by that is there's nothing that you have to do. And if you don't feel like doing something, just let go, find your own way. So first we're gonna do some somatic work, and I'd like to invite you to just find a way to be comfortable. That could be laying down or sitting or standing. Just listen to your body, whatever it wants in this moment. Find a way to be comfortable. You won't need your pen or your paper for this. You can put that away. And I'm gonna turn off my video just so we're not necessarily focused on me. So first, just take a moment to be where you are right now. Take a look around and just acknowledge that everything has taken a very long journey to be here with you. The couch and the chair, these things are not permanent. These are manifestations. This is transforming nature. There is no division between alive and dead, natural or unnatural. It's all a unified system. And now I'd like to invite you to just close your eyes, or perhaps just soften your gaze. And let us begin with the breath. Just offering our attention to the breath. Just normal breathing. What does it feel like to breathe? Perhaps placing your hands on your stomach or your rib cage. Just noticing the way that the air and your body are in a relationship. Notice that right now you exist in space, perhaps sitting or standing. What does it feel like to be doing that? Where can you feel the sensations of sitting or standing or laying in your body? Perhaps shifting your weight gently from one side to the other and just noticing how the movement ripples through the body. How many tiny micro adjustments the body makes. Checking in with your body, perhaps it is asking you for something in this moment. Maybe a little stretch or a little massage. And just being generous with yourself. Letting your body be autonomous. Let it guide you. And now, placing our attention on the ears. What does this place sound like? Noticing the smallest sounds you can hear. And letting your attention drift from one to the next. Perhaps you can notice sounds within sounds. and elevating the sound of your own breath, I wonder if you can add your own sound into your space, just letting it blend in. Turning our attention to the skin, I wonder what sensations you can feel with the skin. Noticing the skin underneath your clothing and the skin exposed to the air. Perhaps holding your hands out in front of you with your palms up and just holding the air in your hands. Perhaps also noticing the ways that the air might be holding you. And bringing the hands gently together, I wonder what it feels like when skin touches itself. Perhaps tracing the fingers along the palm, noticing these delicate sensations. Perhaps using those hands to explore the textures you have around you, perhaps your clothing, jewelry, your hair, perhaps whatever you are sitting on. Perhaps just with the tip of one finger. Simply noticing. Turning our attention to the nose, I wonder what your space smells like. Perhaps smelling the hands that were just exploring texture. Maybe the scent of the world is left over on you. And as smell is connected to taste, I wonder what you might be able to taste right now. Perhaps it's simply the taste of your own mouth, or something that you ate or you drank earlier. You might try breathing in as if sipping the air through a straw, letting it pass over the tongue and the palate. I wonder if you can taste the air. And opening your eyes, just take a look around you. Noticing light, shadow, shapes and colors. Gazing out at the distance and zooming in to the tiniest details. Offering our full attention to this place. I wonder what it looks like. And placing your hands over your heart, just feeling what it is like to have a heart. The movement that comes from within you. Awakening our imaginations, I wonder if you can gaze outward with the heart. I wonder what remains hidden beneath the surfaces of what we can perceive. What is here that is speaking directly to you? I wonder if with the heart you can sense the inner beauty of this moment. Notice that you are alive, that your body is nature, connected to everything here in this moment. And notice how the body responds to this attention. And finally, simply notice how you feel. Whatever it is, offer it some hospitality in this moment. If something is offering you a sensation that makes you feel alive, just be with that for a moment. Just let it linger. Let it reside in your body as you breathe. And welcome it home to the forest of yourself. We're now going to go into our imaginal journey. Just follow along with your eyes still closed. Let us begin with an affirmation. I am nature. I am nature. I am nature. First, I'd like to invite you to offer your attention to the element of water, where life begins. Can you remember what it was like to be suspended in water before your body knew light or space? Can you feel it in your body, what that was like? Can you imagine yourself as a drop of rain that falls from the sky, finding its way into the rivers of the mountains? What is it like when the raindrop touches the river? Can you feel yourself moving down to the lowest points of your body, to the oceans of yourself? Take a moment to be on that journey. Where does the water of your body take you, and what does it encounter along the way? Now I'd like to invite you to offer your attention to the element of earth. First to the bones, the bedrock of your body, and then the muscles, tendons, and ligaments, the mountains, valleys, and shifting tectonic plates. Up to the skin and the soil and stone and sand that covers the surface. Like water, the earth moves in a dynamic fashion. Sometimes slow and sometimes fast, but always moving together. Can you imagine yourself as this shifting geology, exploring what it means to be living stone? Now I'd like to invite you to offer your attention to the element of air. You are not only the solid matter of the earth, your body is also the sky. Your body is respiration and wind, an ocean of its own kind. Can you imagine yourself as the sky that illuminates the day and covers the land in darkness at night? Notice that the air carries you in and back out into space, yielding and pushing in a circular rhythm. Can you feel what it is like for your body to be this wind? And now, to the element of fire, the heat that drives all things deep in the core, in the belly of your body. It is from that depth that all movement is driven, and it is this heat that sustains life. Can you imagine that the fire is at home within you as well? Can you feel the intense slowness of the magma at the core? Notice that the fire comes from above as well, in the way that the light shines down upon you, summoning life to turn its gaze. Notice also the instantaneity of the lightning as it cracks the sky, illuminating everything for a single moment. What is it like to be this fire that holds us between the full depths and heights of ourselves? And now I'd like to invite you to imagine waking up inside the ecosystem of your own body. What does it look like? What is there? Perhaps the thoughts, emotions, and sensations that move through the body are like the plants and animals that seek and know this place as their home. Offer your attention to each one as it arises, knowing that all of this belongs within you. Notice that nature is never standing still, that nothing is permanent or perfect. Notice that there is life and death here, that things do fall apart, and that some parts of you are in decay, while others are only just beginning. Notice that there are seasons and cycles, and that there is wisdom in the land. There is knowledge and culture in the ways that things are done. How does this place live, move, and relate? You may also notice that some of the land within has been tended. Perhaps there are towns or even cities, places where the world has settled within you. Perhaps some of these cities are more like ruins, places that were once bustling with life become relics of the past. Perhaps there are roads that were once well traveled that are now simply memories of a journey past. Find a way to welcome these aspects of the world as well. And notice what it feels like to be here in this reality, this ecosystem. Take time to breathe, feel the wind blowing, and know that you are home here on this land and here in this body. So I ran out of time a little bit. But maybe just for 1 minute, take some time to just take a few notes in your journal. Perhaps an image arises. I thought it would be cool to make a map. Maybe that's for another day. And again, just releasing ourselves from this idea of eco-normativity. There's no right nature. And welcome yourself home. Maybe in the chat box, just one arrow to the heart, one reflection, one word or idea, if you'd like to share it. And I'll leave this last slide up. If you enjoyed this presentation, you can find more about my work at www.integralforestbathing.com. And you're free to contact me at ben@natureandforesttherapy.org. So with respect to my wonderful and gracious hosts, I'd just like to say it's been an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ben. It's been an absolute honor to have you share this beautiful experience.